beloved brethren, a lot of error out there in the world. A lot of people have erred from the truth. And God said, do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, saved people ought to know better. They don't, but they ought to know better. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation full, salvation free, provided as the gift of God. And he cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, and neither shadow of turning. Now, verse 18, start paying attention there. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You know where the emphasis lies? The will of God and the word of truth. They're inseparable. That we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Hear what? The word of truth. And notice, if you will, please, and let every man be slow to speak. No argument against the word of truth. Slow to wrath. You know how many people get mad at the preaching of the word? I hope you're not going to be one of them. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You ever get mad at God about something? You ever felt like God let you down? Why didn't you work this out better for me? Well, you can get mad all you want to and have that little titty tantrum like a kid does, but it ain't going to change what God's doing. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, here it is again, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. You know, if you're the real deal, you don't start out and then fizzle out. You'll continue in it. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed as a congregation. The special music has thrilled our hearts. Now, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that's lost without God, may you open their eyes, bring conviction to their heart, impart to them repentance and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want us to look, if you will, please, a little bit about the bridle of God. If you're a child of God, you've got the bridle in your religious exercise. I preached a message, I don't know, several years ago and several times in life on pure vain religion. And by the way, you have one or the other. If you're here this morning and you're able to draw breath into your lungs and you've been any length of time, you've got one or the other as far as religion. You'll hear somebody say, well, you know, I don't really profess any religion. You've either got pure religion or vain religion, one or the other. You know, in the day and hour we live in, we're talking about all these threats that are foreign countries that are put upon us. You know, the biggest threat we've got in America, our own selves, who have denied the blessed word of the Lord and that have trampled underfoot the day of God and the word of God. And God promised, I'll make your enemies be rulers over you. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here this morning, that you'll find out that he begins to tell us is that we ought to note in verse number 18 that the word of truth, notice that, that the word of truth is going to be that. It's verse 21, the engrafted word becomes part of your life. You see what I'm talking about? I've had people, you know, before that joined the church and then they'd get ready to leave. And then isn't it amazing when people don't show up? They're in and out and live like a gutter rat and just do what they want to do. I've literally told some preachers that wanted to send for their letter, they're more interested in the bottle than they are the Bible. That makes a lot of people get angry at you. But I've got pages of Bible scriptures and things that say just exactly that. You know what's wrong in America? I'll tell you what's wrong. We're going to have transgender and queer lovers is what's going to kill America. It's not China. China's only going to be used by the hand of God to stir some other people up. But I can tell you what's wrong in America is that this transgender bunch that we've got running up and down the road. They don't know what to call them. I don't know exactly what to call them. They're queers. They're apostates. They're reprobates. They're sodomites in the sight of God. Matt, he's a congressman or a senator or something. But he's bold as a lion. He got up to that abortion crowd and said, "Isn't it amazing that the only women that are out there that are marching for abortion and talking about my body and my rights and wanting to kill babies are people that are so fat and ugly they can't even get a date?" Did y'all hear him when he said it? Yes, sir. Let me tell some of you women something he said. If you are so fat and got cankles and you're built like a thumb, can't even get a boyfriend. You ain't got to worry about abortion. You can't even get a boyfriend. Now, that's no reflection on you good, godly, fat women that love God and the Bible. One of the reporters said, "Now, may I ask you, sir, what do you have to say about those that are offended at those remarks?" And he said, "Be offended." Amen. That's what's wrong in the day and hour in which we live in, buddy. We used to have people that would stand up in the pulpit and preach hell hot and heaven real and call, buddy, sin, sin, and amen. But in the day and hour that we're living in, too many people have been offended. See? They'll tuck their tail and take off running to one of those party players and one of those party clubhouse religionists to where they can go ahead and live like they want to live, look like they want to look, so forth and on. Let me drop all this on you if I could right quick, is that if you as a man here this morning and you'd like to get your ear pierced, make sure you get the right one, because we don't want to make, somebody said, is it the right ear or the left ear? It don't matter. They both make you look queer. God bless you. Thank you very much. That offends a lot of people, but be offended. See? By the time you suck a couple of cans of Budweiser down, you won't remember it after you get about halfway down into a quart of Jack Daniels somewhere. Of course, you're going to hell without God. In the lesson that we're living in, the Bible said, you know, in the latter days, is that you'd find that in the last day, that as it was in the days of Noah, remember that? As it was in the days of Noah. You know what it was? The imagination of man was wicked continually. Have you ever seen how rampant and wickedness is just running unchecked in the day and hour we're living in? Listen, if an officer of the law does his job and arrests somebody that's broken the law, well, then he's reprimanded for arresting him, and they turn him loose in the courts before that the officer can get the paperwork filled out. That's going across the country. Did you notice, is that how they were complaining up there? Where is that? Where is that, in Washington, Seattle, or wherever that it is? Is that that black mare? And, you know, they've got her turned right. She looks like a horse's behind, so let's call her a mare. Did you ever notice up there, we're going to have the National Guard come. There's 4,000 immigrants in our city. What about the 2 million that we're working with in Texas that have come across the border, not counting the 100,000 plus gotaways that are, see what I'm talking about? See, they're getting a taste a little bit, and they're all mad at our governor, Mr. Abbott. And by the way, I hope that you will be registered to vote and go out. And I hope you don't vote for some idiot like that horse face, horses behind, fella by the name of Beto O'Rourke. I mean, I'm voting for him to be removed completely from Texas. Talk about a jackass all the way around. No other preacher is going to tell you that across the country. It offends too many other people. And if you're in First Baptist, you'll jump over there to another liberal Baptist somewhere. But I want to tell you something, is that politics got dirty when we got to where we were silent and said nothing about the truth of what these people are thinking. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, as it was in the days of Lot. You know what was going on in the days of Lot? Sodomy was running rampant. It had done gotten so bad that it was past the point of no return, and that's the reason why is that the Lord burned up Sodom and Gomorrah and turned it into ashes. Now, in all of that, I said all that to be able to say this, is that I'm not going to have time probably to get too far down into this, but we'll enjoy it and have fun for the next couple of three minutes. But do you realize that whatever I said about all the transgenders, you wait and see, friend. Fox News will get on there. Man, they'll just lamb blast all that liberal woke thinking, and rightly so. And then they'll turn around and have a queer on their program that's a good buddy of theirs to be able to deliver the message. That's exactly what they do. Now, I said all that to be able to say this. Pure religion is this. It has a bridle. You know why their religion's not pure, doesn't have a bride? You know what the bride, I looked up and I read all the commentators, and most commentators are just common old taters. Not one of them has anything to say about this passage in the right sense. They said, well, you know, who knows, it could be this, it might be that. Let me tell you what it is. Pure religion's got a bridle. I've already told you what it was. It's the pure word of God. It's the engrafted word of the Lord. It's that buddy which will separate truth from that which is error. It's that buddy that'll cause you to see yourself like God sees you. You know the reason why in the day and hour that we're living in, and some of you now try to calm yourself down a little bit. You know the reason why that in the day and hour we're living in that I said what I said about sodomy and sodomites, queers, faggots, transvestites, transgender, whatever you want to call them. I'll tell you the reason why, because in the day and hour we're living in, did you ever notice there's a rise of women preachers across the country? Now, you know how I know that's wrong? Because in the Bible it said, I suffer not a man or a woman, a teacher, usurp authority over a man. It said that if a man desires the office of a bishop, let him be the husband of one wife. Now watch this. What that means to tell me that if some of these folks there like Joyce Meyer that looks like the Joker on Batman, I wonder whose husband she is. She's going to have to be a transgender if she's going to be a husband. So rather than to go that route and route, they just ignore what God said and do what they want to. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people get mad at you for even bringing it up. Why have you to know I've got an aunt, an uncle, grandma, grandpa, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a rip who you got and how famous they may become. I'm showing you what in the volume of the book it says about the word of the Lord. See? You're going to find people, you know, have you ever noticed how simple that the way of salvation is in the Bible and yet how complicated that it is among humanity? They've always got another route and another route. And let me tell you right up front, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I was thinking about, you know, a long time ago, is that, and I can't remember, but somewhere along the line in this sermon here, I was trying to think of that story, and that old brother H.B. Brown, first time I ever heard it was from him. And there's a man, you know, and he's an old Army retired veteran sitting in his home. And he come knocking on his door, the Jehovah's Witness. And the Jehovah's Witness, you know, came in there and they sat down and played their little record and done their little thing and went through their little program. And then they got up and they left him. And so somebody pointed out and said, Hey, brother, what was you doing with the Jehovah's Witness in your house? He said, well, they just knocked on the door and told me they wanted to give the good news, that I could use some good news. He said, let me explain to you what they are. They're anti-police, they're anti-military, and all that business there. You're kidding me. They won't salute the American flag that you fought and battled to defend and the Constitution of the United States. You're kidding me. No. He said, well, that's all right. They'll be back in a few days. They said they're just going to return. A few days later, a car drives up. He's got his hat on. He's put it on his head. He's draped in a flag. Oh, glory, buddy. He's so proud of his country. And all of a sudden, the door knocks, and whenever he opens it up, and those ladies, she came right on in there and sat down. And he said, I want you to sit right there, and don't you move, and don't say a word. As a result of it, he began to play the national anthem. And he began to walk around singing about the glory of God and so forth and on, and the Star Spangled Banner and everything there was about America. And as a result of that, he jumped down in her face and said, now, what do you think about that, ma'am? She said, sir, I've been selling Avon for 40 years, and this beats anything I've ever seen. And if you're going to take a bold stand, at least know who you're dealing with. At least know something about the facts that you're about to present to them. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, make no mistake about it, is that the pure, blessed word of the Lord, if whoever and whatever you're dealing with, you'd better make sure that it lines up with the word of God. Baptizing infants. No such thing as that in the Bible. You'll find out that when you go on and on, it's because they're unbridled. It's because that they're connected to whatever religion and whimsical ideas that they come up. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that they think by vain repetition. If you say a prayer, certain prayer in a certain way and a certain thing over and over, the Lord Jesus Christ condemned vain repetitions and said it's not going to do nothing. I want to say that whenever you and I look into this Bible, that you and I, we've been in business with God since the day we got saved. And make no mistake about it, the business you and I have with God will have the bridle of God, which is the Word of God, that will constrain us and will restrain us. Now, I want to say in this lesson that you're looking at, if you've got real religion that's right before God, it'll keep you unspotted from the world. Now, I know a lot of people in the world that tell me they're saved, but they go where they always went, do what they've always done, snorting the same dope, drinking the same liquor, involved in the same fornication or adultery, and there's no restraint whatsoever. They're in church and out of church more out than they are in. I got to tell you, you've got vain religion if that be your case. Pure religion is undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep himself unspotted from the rest of the world. I had an uncle. He called me Knuckles. That was my nickname, Knuckles. I guess because of being knuckleheaded or something. But I remember that before he died, he told me, he said, listen, if you preach my funeral, don't try to make people feel good about me because I'm not going up yonder. I know I've lived a life. I've had my opportunities. That there's no need in lying to everybody else. He'd been to a few funerals, hadn't he? He was nearly about as smart as that woman as the preacher got up and began to brag on the fella and brag on him and bragged on him. And finally, the widow got up out of the congregation and said, hold it a minute, preacher, and went up here and looked at him, and she said, go ahead. I thought for a minute I was at the wrong funeral. Your life is going to preach your own funeral. See what I'm talking about? The very life that you live, People can get up and lie on your behalf, but your life is preaching your own funeral. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, there was a man, he was a preacher, and the guy that he was going to have to bury was just a desperado, man, just a lie, cheat, connive, and you name it, whatever it was wicked, he'd do it. And the brother came to him and said, "Preacher, I want you to preach my brother's funeral, but I'd like you to say something nice about him if you possibly could." He said, "Man, all the neighborhood knows him. All the countryside here knows him. I mean, he's the most godless person that's on the face of this earth." And he said, "I'll give you $1,000 if you can say something nice about him." And the preacher said, "Well, okay, I'll try to work it in." And he got up at the funeral and he said, "This is the most lying, cheating, conniving, sorry, good-for-nothing, low-life, dope-smoking, beer-drinking, alcohol-consuming specimen on the face of this earth." But compared to his brother, he was a saint. I want something a little more than that, don't you? That's true, isn't it? I want to tell you something, is that I want to close with this. Have you got pure religion this morning? Or vain religion? If you've got pure religion, here's the bridle that God will put on you, and you can't go beyond or fall short of what this book says. I wonder here this morning, as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, and as we get ready to stand to our feet, is God tugging at your heart's door? Hey, the bridle is the Word of God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings as the musicians and the song director come. We ask you now that you'd move upon us and within us. No doubt, Lord, there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. You're tugging at their heartstrings. You know every need that we have, and I pray you'd finish that message in every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, we pray and ask you. Amen. What number is